to Matthew chapter 15. Okay, Matthew 15. Then some of the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" And he answered and said to them, "And why do yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother, and thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' And after he called a multitude to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant should be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' And Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man.' And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.' And he did not answer her a word, and his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is shouting out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once. And departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up the mountain, he was sitting there, and great multitudes came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, dumb, and many others, and they laid them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the multitude marveled as they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I feel compassion for the multitude, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not wish to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' And the disciples came to him, 'Where would we get so many loaves in a desolate place to satisfy such a great multitude?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7 and a few small fish. And he directed the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples in turn to the multitudes. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, and besides women and children. And sending away the multitudes, he got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan." Amen. Okay, so chapter 15 starts this huge clash. You'll notice that in the beginning here, it says Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. So the rabbis in Galilee were no match for Jesus. And so they basically call in reinforcements. So now we have kind of the more senior leaders, right, now come from Jerusalem, and now they're there to confront Jesus. And so Jesus' disciples, they notice they seem to be so lax, right? I mean, it's so lax in so many areas of their legal observance, especially in regard to the Sabbath. So their main issues are with Sabbath, and also that these disciples, man, for whatever reason, they keep hanging out with sinners. And they're totally offended by that. One of the things that they notice is that they don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, again, surely, you look at in Jesus' point of view, or just in just a typical point of view, it is just good personal hygiene to wash your hands. You know what I mean? You know, but for whatever reason, these guys don't do that. And I think there's a major point that's coming out here. So let me just take a step back and let me just recount a little bit of history, particularly a little bit of Judaism for a moment. So we have now Jesus is pitting a battle, right? He says there's the commandment of God. This is what God commands versus the tradition of the elders. So let me explain what this means. The tradition of the elders is known in Judaism as the oral law. Whenever you hear that phrase, the oral law, it refers to what they would call the tradition of the elders. Now, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he gave the people 10 commandments. So we're all very familiar with this, right? Do not, you know, use the Lord's name in vain. Do not murder, you know, these type of things. And so the Pharisees, they surmise, well, Moses was in the mountain for 40 days, okay? So what did he do in those 40 days? And so what the Pharisees said was that God gave them the written law, okay, 10 commandments, but they also surmised that God spoke to Moses and gave him the oral law. Basically, that's what transpired in the other 39 days or whatever the case may be. And so that God was entrusting Moses with this oral law that was eventually handed down to the 120 elders in the days of Ezra. And so they called this time, these elders, they call it the 12 elders of the great synagogue. And so the Pharisees, if you notice, they keep saying, you know, that about Moses and all these things, is because they believe that they're the direct descendant of Moses following the tradition of the elders, following the path of this oral law. So let me quote, this is Rabbi Perky Abbott in his book, Sayings of the Fathers, and this is what he writes. He says, Moses received the oral law from Sinai, committed it to Joshua, and Joshua to the elders, and the elders to the prophets, and the prophets committed it to the men of the great synagogue. So this is how this oral law was passed on. God gave it to Moses. Moses gave it to Joshua. Joshua gave it to the elders. The elders gave it to the prophets. And the prophets, right, committed to the men of the great synagogue, the 120, basically, elders in the time of Ezra. And so that's why they continually made this claim that we get our authority from Moses. So they're always making this claim. We get our authority from Moses. Where do you get your authority? Remember, they asked these questions to Jesus. And so this is the background of where it happens. And so Jesus, he counters this, and he basically now the battle is on, man. This battle is raging. He says, look, you not only, right, violate the commandment of God, right, for the sake of your tradition. That's what you do. I'm sorry, let me phrase this. He asked the question, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? And he's referring to the fifth commandment. Remember the fifth commandment? Honor your mother and your father. And so he's saying that, right, the command of God should supersede everything, but you violate God's command, the fifth commandment, to honor your mother and father, by keeping to your tradition, right? The tradition of the elders or the oral law. So easy way of saying, you're breaking the written law by submitting yourself to the oral law. And so he gives an example. And he says, this is what you've done. You violated, right, a law that basically, I'll read in Exodus 21:17, anyone who dishonors the parent is meant to be put to death, right? So what happens is, they developed in the oral law, they developed this tradition of man called korban. And korban was simply this, right? If you had something of value, you had a piece of land, you had some, you know, some gold plate or whatever it may be, what you would say is you would consider this to be korban. In other words, this is dedicated to the temple. Now, you didn't have to give this offering right away. Do you know what I mean? Like there's no impetus to give it right away, but usually kind of after your death or towards the end of your death, you give this to the temple. But in so doing so, that money was supposed to be used to take care of your parents. It was supposed to be used to take care of them in old age and so on and so forth. And all they had to say was, all right, this is korban. You know, like if this chair was, you know, worth $100,000 or something, and it is a family heirloom or whatever the case may be, and as a son, I should sell this chair and help my parents. But instead, all I have to say is, this is korban. This is dedicated to the temple, you know, to the temple treasury. And then I don't have to actually give it. I could use it, you know, my whole lifetime. And then I don't actually take care of my parents in this way, and I dishonor them. And you could see they were, you know, grown children now were dedicating to the temple treasury what was supposed to be used to provide for their aging parents, which is a clear violation of the fifth commandment. And that's why Jesus, he quotes Isaiah 29:13. All right, let's read that. This is verse 8. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." It's amazing. And he says, look, this is exactly, Isaiah prophesied this about you. This is exactly what he meant. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites, right? You all of a sudden, think of it this way, the rules of man are so highly lifted up, and the commandment of God is lowered. And he says, you are hypocrites, right? You honor me with your lips, but your heart is so far away. See, 90% of the oral law dealt with what is clean and unclean. Yeah, that was the bulk of this oral law that was passed down. And Jesus, what he does, and he uses, this is the perfect example. Your disciples do not wash their hands. And remember, washing their hands, like in Judaism, was not just like, you know, simple like personal hygiene. It was religious ritual. Do you remember in John chapter 2, when Jesus, remember he's in Cana of Galilee? And remember what he does, the wine runs out, and so Jesus' mother asks Jesus, and he goes and he takes, and it's very clear, he takes pots used for purification. And he takes those pots, and remember he turns water into wine. Those pots used for purification are for ritual cleansing. So when a person comes, they would be considered clean by washing, you know, their hands. But it was a ritual. It was a process that they went through. And when Jesus, and it's a very specific miracle, and when Jesus took those pots, he was saying something very, very profound. In other words, you can think of it this way. He was really making a comment of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, right, Moses turns water into blood, brings death. That's what he's saying the Old Covenant does. The New Covenant turns water into wine. It's something that's enjoyable and refreshing. You know, don't start drinking too much now. But it's something to that effect. And wine was really, Old Testament, it was a sign of messianic promise. That when the Messiah comes, there's going to be a huge banquet overflowing wine. And that was always the idea. And so he was making even in John 2, he's making a comment about this ritual cleansing. So the disciples don't wash their hands. And so this is a perfect opportunity to teach this very profound lesson. And this is simply the lesson. What goes into the mouth does not render anyone unclean. So later on, right, he'll deal with Peter about food, right? It's not the food that you eat that makes you unclean. It's not. It's what's in your heart. That's what makes you unclean. And this is what the Pharisees just didn't get. They were so into outward righteousness. They were so into looking the part. They were so into these rituals and doing these things. And he says, that doesn't save you. That never saves you. It's what's in your heart. It's not what you take in. It's what comes out of your heart in this way. In that same way, if you remember, you go all the way back to the Beatitudes, to the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, look, you look at someone with lust in your heart. You've committed adultery. It's not the eyes. It's not the eyes that cause adultery. It's because you have adultery in the heart. It's all about the heart. And so he's giving this incredible lesson, right? It's not, I'll make it very simple, okay? It's not dirty hands that make a man unclean. It's a dirty heart, right? It's not what goes in. It's actually what comes out. And so these guys, they start speaking. And notice what Jesus is saying right now. Like, you'll get a glimpse here at verse 12. What Jesus is saying is mind-blowing to the disciples. And look what happens. And so verse 12, then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? You know, I mean, now the disciples saying, Jesus, I think you better calm down right now. Like, you better chill a little bit because these guys are really mad at what you said. And part of it is they're also a little bit troubled, right? He is totally uprooting their whole religious system. I mean, he is turning this upside down. This is just amazing. Can you imagine the disciples coming and says, hey, Jesus, you know, I think you made them a bit angry. You know, and then he continues on, and you know, is Jesus doesn't say, oh yeah, my bad, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. He said, no, they're blind guides, and everyone they guide will also be blind. I mean, he just goes for the jugular in this place, and then Peter comes and he says, can you explain what this means? And then he just says it very plainly. He says, verse 18, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. And so Jesus has to make it very, very clean for these guys. So now they move, so they finish this. They move about 40 miles up the coast of the Mediterranean the book of Mark in the parallel passage tells them they're trying to find a place of solitude, a place to rest in this place. And when they're there, they encounter a Canaanite woman whose daughter is demonized. Now, remember, in the Old Testament, this area of Tyre and Sidon, especially Sidon, these are the worst enemies of the Israelites. You have to remember, to give you an idea, Sidon is actually where Jezebel comes from, right? If you go back to 1 Kings 16. And so she comes, approaches Jesus, and she calls him Lord three times. Lord, Lord, right? And even calls him the Son of David, a claim to his messiahship in this way. And then she's asking for something that she clearly doesn't deserve, clearly does not deserve. What is she asking for? Chesed. Asking for mercy. He says, Lord, right, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Asking for something she clearly doesn't deserve. Now, this is one of the most misunderstood passages in the New Testament. And you think, is Jesus calling this woman a dog? Dude, this is like scandalous. And he's not. Let me try to explain this, okay? So, yes, in Judaism, for the Jewish people, dogs are really wild beasts. They're looked upon as very, very low. The word that's used is the word kuon. And this is they look at dogs. They're wild animals. They're dirty. They're lowly. That's how the Jews looked at dogs. The Gentiles looked at dogs a little different way, and particularly the word that he uses here is not the kuon. It's actually kunarion, which means puppy. And so Gentiles, they kept puppies as pets. And so it wasn't, I mean, this is very important for us to get this. It wasn't the kuon, the dirty, wild animals that the Jews despised. No, he wasn't talking in these terms. He was used the word, very specific word, kunarion, which was, you know, this cute little puppy that Gentiles used as pets. And so he says, I was sent only to the lost tribe of Israel, which is true. This is his first, coming. Later on, the disciples will be sent to the Gentile world. But for him, he's there in this place. And then he begins to basically speak a language that this woman understands. He starts speaking like a Gentile. And he says, he says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, throw it to the puppies. And then the woman responds, and she goes, but even the dogs feed off the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And this is crazy. Now, first of all, we know that Jesus was not offending her because she's not offended at all. She's not, how dare you call me a, you know, there's nothing like that that happens here. And basically what he's saying is Jesus is like a speaking a language that she can really understand. And this is what she responds. She goes, but Lord, even puppies get crumbs off the table. In other words, she's not violating, or she's not asking him to violate his mission at that time. What she's simply asking for is some leftovers, right? And this would make perfect sense because what just happened just before that? You remember they fed 5,000 and the disciples ate the leftovers. And so, you know, Matthew's kind of using this imagery all along this. And she says, you know, you don't have to violate your mission. It's just, you know, just want some leftover crumbs, you know, very simple. And Jesus is so impressed by her faith. I mean, so impressed, and says, okay, right, here you go. You basically get what you don't really deserve. That's the chesed, right? This is this is not like a new thing. Jesus is just going back, right, to the Old Testament and bringing back what should have remained instead of all these ridiculous rules about what's clean and unclean and so on and so forth. So next thing you know, they go back to Galilee from verse 29. Oh, okay, I better speed it up. They go back to Galilee, and Mark tells us a little more detail about the route that's taken. And so they're back to the Decapolis. And do you remember in Mark chapter 5, when he tells the two guys, the demoniacs, you know, and they wanted to follow him, he says, no, you go back home and you tell your family what God has done for you. And you know what? They did. And they went back and they did a really good job. You know why? Because we find here, they go to this place and now great multitudes have come in. And so, man, it's strategic. They went back, they told these people, and these people are like, wow, this is amazing. And then when Jesus comes back, huge multitudes gather together, and he just ministered to them. He just, you know, and this is going on for days now. And then in verse 32, Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, I feel compassion for them. This word, compassion, and interestingly enough, only in the New Testament, only Jesus seems to have this effect. The word compassion, it's splag, chizomai, or something like that. It means getting punched in the gut. When you look at the word, it's like a gut, you know, gut hit. It's like, oh. And when he says he feels compassion, it's like something is deeply burning inside of his guts. Right, like someone just punches. In other words, this is like an overwhelming feeling that takes place, and something that demands an action. Seemingly, in the New Testament, only is spoken of Jesus. No one has this kind of compassion. Like it's like next level compassion. And so it's like he gets hit in the gut. It's so painful for him to see these people hungry. And he turns into this place, and he basically says, you know, I don't want to send them away. Look, they've been with me for 3 days. That's how passionate these people are to be with Jesus, right? Those demoniacs, they did a really good job, right? I mean, they prepared the way. And so now they're at this place, and it's so amazing how quickly they forgot. I mean, it's just so amazing how quickly they forgot. It gives me some comfort because I so quickly forget the good things that God has done for me. I'm sure you so quickly forget, right, the great things God has done for you. You know, you cried out for a job, God gives you a job, and next thing you know, there's difficulty in your job, and you say, Lord, why'd you give me this job? And it's just kind of like, well, we forget so quickly, don't we? And so these guys in the same boat, and they come to this place, and he heals all these people. They give glory to God. They don't give glory to Jesus, right? They give glory to God, right? He's not praised. The Lord always tries to win praise for the Father, and he has them all sit down, the same pattern. Now he's got 7 loaves and 2 fish. Again, he does the unmiraculous miracle. He just breaks the bread and gives thanks to the Lord. Food is passed out. And now, this is a different miracle because now 7 large baskets left over. The word basket that's used here, remember the other one was the kophanos. That meant a small lunch pail. This basket that's used here is in Greek, is a cypress. And what cypress means, it's the man-sized basket. Do you remember in Acts chapter 9 when Paul was let down? You know, they were about to kill him, so they let him down the wall of the city in this large basket. That was a cypress. In other words, it could fit a human being inside. And now, so the first miracle was his perfect provision. 12 lunch pails for 12 disciples. The second miracle is God's abundant provision. 7 huge baskets left over. And this is after everyone ate and was filled and all these things. And now this is what happens. And this is what God does, right? God's got perfect provision. And then many times God has abundant provision. Right, this is how it works in God's economy. And then now they move to Magadan or Magdala, the city of Mary. So let's close our eyes. Right, let's go back to that teaching. It's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him because it comes out of his heart. You can see all these admonitions through the scriptures. Right? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. It is so important for us, friends, to cultivate a soft heart before God. It's so important to cultivate a repentant heart. Cultivate a teachable heart. A heart that's willing to obey. A heart that's full of compassion. We don't want to make the same mistakes. You know, when we are so focused on the outward appearance, you all of a sudden now become religious. You make the same mistake that the Pharisees made in their time. And as we sing and during our time of fasting, you know, it's just a time for us to consecrate our hearts before the Lord. Let's pray and sing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, in springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's present our hearts before the Lord. This morning, let's pray, God, make my heart soft. Lord, make my heart teachable, moldable, God, bending to your will. Let's pray against a stubborn heart. And let's cultivate our heart before him. Let's pray over our community that are battling through cancer, going through chemo and therapy and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer-related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with COVID. Let's pray for God's healing. And let's also lift up our frontline medical workers, that God would protect them and give them strength. Also pray for the nurse shortage in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's ask God's spirit to continue to move throughout this land. Let's pray the gospel will be would powerfully affect this nation. And let's pray for our community there in BJ and SH. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu, Pastor Ricky. Pray for the leaders and the community that will continue to grow in the midst of very challenging circumstances. And let's also lift up the Chungs, that God would continue to open a door for them to get back into China. And let's just pray for the churches. Let's lift up. Let's pray over the board. Let's just ask God's hand over these men and women, that they would be hearing from the Lord, and God would just really give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let's pray. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our young adult, our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray that the young people, the men and women would gather together and really just connect with God and with one another. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, our welcoming, our baristas, and logistics, especially now as the barista is opening up and the church is opening up more. Let's just pray for more volunteers, and that there will just be a real welcoming spirit among our volunteers. Pray for our community of our women who are pregnant. Let's pray for just protection over them, their health, over the baby. Pray for successful delivery. For some are due pretty soon. Let's lift up. Let's pray for house churches tonight, Chaiti Fortress, Happy East Valley, Gia, King's Court, and TST. Let's pray for God's hand upon our leaders, our hosts. Let's pray that people will really draw close to the Lord during this time. Let's go to our member focus. Let's pray for Sherwin. Pray for health in times of COVID, situation with the whole family. Pray for human relationship breakthrough in Christ's words, and for well-being and productivity and prosperity. And let's pray for Sherwin. Let's pray for Brian. Let's pray for Jesus' kingdom to come and all people will glorify him. Pray for our 92-year-old mother's health stops getting worse. And pray the mother can enter an affordable home for the elderly. Let's lift up Brian and his family. Let's pray for Matthew. Let's pray for strength and wisdom for part-time study, discernment to really hear God's voice, and just pray for guidance in his career. Let's lift up Matthew. Father, we thank you for this chapter. God, thank you for the reminder, Lord, that it's all about the heart, God. Lord, it's not what comes in, but what comes out, Lord. God, help us as a people, God, to cultivate our hearts before you. Lord, it's our responsibility, Lord, to work our hearts in such a way that it's teachable, that it's moldable, that's flexible, God, that it's loving and full of compassion. Lord, help us, God. For some of us, Lord, change our hearts, God. For some of us, give us a new heart altogether. But Lord, whatever it may be, God, do a deep work in our lives, God. And I pray that this time of fasting, Lord, allows the time and the space for you to work in our hearts, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.